That's just a funny way to try to get your attention. I'm going to deal with the next point in this message and try to do that in a brief, abbreviated amount of time. And Brother David Burrow is going to come and bring what the Lord has put on his heart in just a few minutes. And Brother David has been, he's had a rough couple of months. His family has. And I had asked him to preach a while back, and he had just had so much going on, he wasn't able to. And I told him to let me know when he would be able to again. And so he come foaming at the mouth today and just gung-ho, fired up. And so I'm going to turn him loose in just a little bit. But let's look quickly at Matthew chapter 13. been seated a while. Let's stand. We'll reverence God's word as we read. Verse 44, Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You can have a seat. Thank you again for standing. Every treasure has a field, or every field has a treasure. We began this morning looking at the subject, and we dealt this morning with the treasure of conversion in the field of flesh, how in and of ourselves, we could not come to God. We could not. We would not seek after God. We know the Word of God says there's none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. And so therein left the predicament and the problem. Sinful man left to himself would die sinful in our sin and would have to pay the price and receive the full punishment for our sin. So God, being such a wonderful, loving Lord and a Savior, He saw us in our field. He saw us in this world, in the sin, in the shame and the disgrace that we brought upon ourselves, first that we were born into, and then that we continued in and of ourselves. And while we were at our worst, God saw a treasure in us. Out in the field, all growed up and filthy, God saw a treasure. And according to the word here, he said, and when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Salvation, you've heard this over and over, but salvation is absolutely free. Ain't you glad? I mean, it's free. Don't cost you one nickel. Don't cost you a penny. But it's we cannot confuse the fact that because it's free, it is not cheap. Salvation cost heaven everything. It bankrupt heaven. God give the best that he had. You know, we all memorize the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. So the price was paid. God thought something was worth redeeming. And thank God, the treasure of conversion. I can't think of anything that's more of a treasure than that of our conversion. Amen. Boy, we ought to talk about it. We ought to tell people about, I was out in a field of sin left to myself, but God saw something in me he was willing to die for. And he loved us, literally loved us to death. And what a blessing that we see the treasure of conversion in the field. Now, I've got to move quickly, and we're going to just deal with the second point. I'll probably come back and get the last three or four next week if the Lord sees fit to let us go that way. But tonight, I want to look at this point, the treasure of consecration in the field of failures. I mean, everybody know what the word consecration means? Amen. It means set apart. It means consecrated, to be set aside and dedicated to the Lord. And when we think about being consecrated and being set apart and set aside and sanctified for the Lord, It don't take me long to remember, and to just today, when I tried today to be consecrated, that failure found me. I didn't have to go looking for failure. Just in and of myself, left to my own self and my own desires, my own will, my own ingenuity, my own strength, trying to be consecrated. Failure happens. And you don't need to get too discouraged, because the devil will see to it that he will accuse you. He will throw up your failures. He will remind you constantly of how short you've come in the glory of God, and how much you've messed up when it comes to consecrating yourself to the Lord. He's going to remind you. He's going to, in bold and with a bullhorn, just scream out to you and tell you, you failed, and there's no sense in continuing. You might as well just give up now and quit trying, because you have failed so very much. And so, has anybody here ever purposed in your heart to do better? You got a desire, you want to do better, to consecrate yourself to the Lord and dedicate yourself to the Lord? Well, that's a treasure. Our consecration to the Lord is a treasure. That's something that God takes interest in. It's a treasure to the Lord when we are willing to give up our desires and to say, Lord, I'm willing to set myself apart and to come out from among the world and be separate and to live my life consecrated and dedicated to you. That God treasures that. I'll say this, just to prove the point. Do you know the Bible says that some, you remember the demon-possessed person, and Jesus had been out healing people and touching people and had even touched the demon-possessed, and the demons fled from them, and he healed and made them whole. And the disciples witnessed that. And the next day or so, they went out and saw a demon-possessed person, and they tried it. It looked easy, didn't it? And they come back to Jesus with a poor, pitiful me story and said, Lord, how did you do that? Well, we tried it and we don't have the power. We need you to go do it. And Jesus said, oh, you have little faith. And he said, some, remember this? He said, some cometh by fasting and prayer only. Remember that? Well, what does that mean? That means that God takes interest and God takes note, and it's a blessing to God, and it's a treasure to God when we are willing to consecrate ourselves, and God will give us more power and more strength and more ability to do above and beyond that we can normally and naturally do when we will consecrate ourselves and go above and beyond and say, Lord, I'm willing to push the plate back. I'm willing to do without a meal. I'm willing to go a day without food, Lord, because I'm this serious about it. And purpose in your heart that you want to do better. And so I raised my hand and said, I want to do better. I purpose in my heart and want to do better, but I ain't nobody talking about giving up food now. I know I'm preaching to Baptists. God bless your heart. We love some food, don't we? So I'm not trying to be a downer, but this is just the truth. We fail more than we do better. I want to do better. I want to be better. I want to be consecrated. But the truth is, I fail more than I do better. Seems like I'll purpose in my heart to do better and fail. Purpose in my heart to do better, fail. Say, all right, today's going to be the day. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. I'm going to set myself aside. And then I fail. Anybody understand? We don't need sign language up here to compute that to you. You should understand that. We do so much to the point that we'll end up saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And I don't want to do that again. Lord, I'm sorry. I've messed up. I've fallen short. and forgive me, and I'm going to do better, and start over, only to find out only hours pass, if we're lucky, to see that we have failed again. Please get this. It's not impossible to be consecrated. It's not impossible to do better. And we should all purpose in our heart that by the grace of God, today I'm going to be better and do better than I was yesterday. Amen. That incremental change is the secret to the Christian life. Quit looking for sweeping change and quit looking for some kind of rocket ship explosion to get from where you are to some supersonic Christian spirituality. Quit looking for that. That's fiction and fairy tales. You'll know how you grow and how you get where you want to be and how to become consecrated to the Lord, something that God wants and desires and appreciates and even treasures. Purpose in your heart. By the grace of God, tomorrow I'm going to be more than I was today. Amen. Even if it ain't but that much. Even if I don't increase my prayer life but that much. By the grace of God, I'm going to consecrate myself, dedicate myself, and I'm going to do more tomorrow. I'm going to witness to one more person than I did today. And for a lot of us, sadly, that would be one. I'm not being mean. How many of you remember being here Wednesday night in the prayer meeting? Remember what the plea was and what the goal was. What I encouraged us all to do. Pray more. Pray more, and that sounds so simple. It sounds so generic. But if it's one of them things you'd have had to have been here. But if you was here. I hope you accepted the challenge. And when I said pray more, I wasn't talking about add 30 seconds to your prayer life and say, well, Lord, this morning it was 2 minutes and 38 seconds. We're going for 2:48 tomorrow. You're missing the point. The point is pray more. Like get up in the morning, pray. And if you didn't pray yesterday, just praying in and of itself tomorrow is more than you did today. But if you pray today, get up in the morning and pray in the morning. And then around lunchtime, go pray again. And then in tomorrow evening, pray again. That's three seasons of prayer. And in the Word of God, that is a pattern set up for us. You'll find all throughout the Word of God, they rose early to pray. At noonday they prayed, and in the evening they prayed. That's a good formula. And if you're not doing it, you'll be surprised. How many people name the name of Christ and say that they want to be consecrated and do better and be better and be set apart for God, but we don't pray? Amen. You cannot be consecrated if you don't pray. Amen. And this is elementary, but it's the truth. So when we purpose in our heart, and by the way, if we're not praying, we ain't much of a treasure when it comes to consecration. Don't you want to be the apple of God's eye? Don't you want, when God sweeps by and looks your direction, don't you want the heart of God to warm up and say, oh, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my son, that's my daughter. What a treasure to my heart. Amen. He deserves our best. He deserves us to be set apart and consecrated to Him. But the truth is we do fail. And I'm simply saying if you're saved, we have the treasure of consecration, and it's a good thing. It's the right thing to move closer and to draw nigh to God and want to love the Lord more. It's right, and that's a treasure. But oh, there's a field of failure. There are. Sometimes we fail at the same thing so much we get tired of trying, and we accept it. Listen to this. If you don't get nothing, this is what I come to say. We fail so much, especially with the same thing in the same area. You say, Lord, I need help with this sin. I'm sorry for this sin. Lord, I failed you again doing this. Forgive me, Lord. I want to be better. I want relief from that. I want liberty from that. I want you to release me from that sin. I'm sorry, Lord. Only to fail Him again doing the same very thing that you begged Him to forgive you for. Right? Amen. And it happens so much, we finally we finally get sick and tired and fed up with trying, and we quit. We just quit trying.
Yeah.
Now, I had some of you going along with me until I got to that part, and you just don't want to admit that.
Amen.
Think. Is there something, and the Holy Ghost is faithful to reprove us and bring back to memory. What is it in your life that you used to try to be faithful at? That you used to try to be better at? That you used to try to please the Lord with? And because you failed time and time again, you finally washed your hands up and said, I'm done trying. We've all been there. We've all done that. And I want to say this. This is what I come tonight to say. Please get this. That's exactly where the devil wants us. Because when we quit trying, as long as we're trying, we are making progress, even when it don't seem like it. If you're still trying, you're still in the game. But when we quit trying, God has something to say about that. And I promise you, when it comes to consecration, we are not treasures when we stop trying. I'll prove it. We try and we fail, So somebody asked me, they said, Preacher, do you fail more than I try? Seems like. I fail all the time. There's some things. I mentioned this morning, September will be 30 years. Good mathematician. 30 years that I've been saved. Do you know there's some things I've been trying to get the victory over as a saved Christian? For 30 years, did I still battle?
Yeah. Amen.
When you have battled something 30 years, I'm not talking about 3 weeks or 3 months or 30 years? Yeah. That's enough to get on your last nerve and think, what's the point? If I ain't whooped it by now, I ain't going to whoop it. Yeah. And just give up on it and say, well, I guess that's just how it's going to be. No, it don't have to be. As long as you're still struggling and fighting and warring with it, you're still winning, even though it don't feel like it. Remember that the flesh, we dealt with the flesh this morning, and flesh is what leads us and helps us and assists us in failure. It will find failure for us. But the flesh is unsaved. The flesh is unscriptural. The flesh is not spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about the flesh. Listen, let me say this. Just because I have failed and just because you have failed time and time again does not mean that we should quit trying or that God has gotten used to it or okay with it. Listen, as long as we're still trying not to fail, the blood of Jesus Christ will still cleanse. This is so important. If you are still battling, if you are still struggling with that sin, you're still winning and there's still
Amen.
Forgiveness for you. There's the blood of Jesus still has cleansing power for you. And this is how serious God takes us quitting.
Amen.
On something and giving up and saying, okay, I guess I'll just accept this sin in my life. No. Listen, let me read you what God says. As long as you're trying, God will forgive you. But listen to what God says when we just accept our sin and say, well, I guess that's how it's going to be. Me and this sin, we'll just have to live together. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 10 says. Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Listen, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's as plain as it can be put. If we sin willfully, after we've come to the knowledge of the truth and we give up and say, well, I'm just going to accept this and I'm tired of struggling with this and I obviously can't be consecrated in this area, and we accept it, please let me assure you, God don't. You can accept it from now until Jesus comes, but God don't. He never has and He never will. And God takes it so serious when we just say, okay, I guess that's how it is. Listen, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You say, but I thought Jesus' blood forgives us for all sin. What about 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, right? Look, God's Word can't. First John 1 and 9 is not talking to people who just got okay with it and give up on battling their sin. No, because according to this verse, when we get willing and accept it and just learn to live with sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sin. There's no more cleansing power. There's no more covering for our sin. There's no more forgiveness. The next verse says this, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I'm coming back to the pulpit. I don't like that. I'm trying not to laugh. This is serious. Oh, this is so serious. If we read the Old Testament and we think, well, God rained fire out of heaven and killed them people. God sent them to hell. I mean, God opened up the ground and swallowed them people up and sent them to hell with their clothes on. God struck a man dead for simply touching the Ark of the Covenant. And he was trying to catch it and do something good. That's a strong, stout God. And we think, well, boy, that's Old Testament. I'm glad we don't live under that law. And I do too. I thank God for grace. But listen, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, when we get okay accepting our sin, God does not take that lightly. And he's saying, if I did that to them in the Old Testament, where the blood of Christ had yet to been shed, and they were living under the old covenant, and I was that strict and strong to them, how much more will I be with you under grace after I have sent my Son Jesus, and you're gonna trod underfoot the Son of God and His blood? Basically, you're gonna walk on His blood like it's nothing. Now, please understand, I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm speaking to all of us. It's a serious thing when God, listen. Consecration, our consecration to the Lord ought to be a sober and a serious thing that we purposefully wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to do better than I did yesterday. Amen. Don't ever get to the place where you're satisfied where you are. At ease and Zion. Content with where you are. That is not consecration. And that is not a treasure to God. But when we on purpose will set aside and do more and be a little better, read a little more, pray a little more, come a little more, give a little more, praise a little more, witness a little to a little more, a few more, boy, that's a treasure in the sight of God. Amen. Amen. So we'll come back and deal with more of these later, but I wanted to share at least that point with you this evening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then Brother David, you make your way up,